this. Have a look at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. Or have a look at verse 15. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, or verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass, that's one breaking of God's law, was condemnation for all men. See, what happened was that Adam sinned. We know the story, don't we? And that sin led to condemnation. What is condemnation? Well, condemnation is another word that we need to learn this morning. There's lots of words to learn, aren't there? But unless we understand these words, we won't understand what God is saying to us through his word, the Bible. Condemnation just means that God punishes sin. Because Adam said, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Condemnation results. And what is the condemnation that God brings into the world, into all humanity through Adam? It's the punishment, it's the condemnation of death. Now I wonder if you're feeling cheery about that. Doesn't seem very cheery, does it? Doesn't seem like, we'd love to think things were different. Whether we doubt this because we think there was no Adam and Eve, that's just a myth. Although I was taught more about the Eve hypothesis in my biology degree than I ever was at college. It's historical. Adam and Eve did exist, but maybe we doubt that. Or maybe we believe, no, we're free to choose. We're free to choose what we're like, aren't we? How can it be possible that we are under sin and death because of Adam's sin? That's not fair, is it? That we all are born under the condemnation of God because of Adam's sin. Sorry, these are not supposed to look like toilet signs, but it's the only one I could find. So that is a red man. That's a sinful man. That's Adam. That's what we're all like. That's the nature we all have. Now, I just want to ask the boys and girls, you can be thinking about where you were born. I mean, I have a terrible confession to make. I was born in Wales. There seems to be a theme developing at the moment, so I thought I'd join in. I was born in Swansea. Anybody want to tell me where they were born? Anyone tell me where you should know the answer to this question. This isn't a difficult question. Yeah? I can't hear. Do you want to shout out?
In Australia.
In Australia. What a great place to be born. Anybody else tell me where they were born? Boys and girls? Yeah? Do you want to shout out, James?
Kennington,
in London. Anybody else? Yeah? Islington. Great. Now, can you sort of raise your hand if you chose to be born there? Did you choose to be born there? Did you choose your parents? Now, there's quite significant things in our lives that we do not choose. Those of you who were born in Australia may have been born because your ancestors many, many, many years ago were sent from the paradise that obviously is England... With such wonderful weather, and as a punishment, you were sent, or your ancestors were sent to Australia, where it's terribly sunny. In other words, what our ancestors did defines who we are today. Choices that other people made define what we are like. That's just the way the world is. There's no point in saying, oh, I'd really rather it wasn't that way. You see, when Adam sinned, he plunged the whole of humanity under the condemnation of death. We all die. It's not just a natural thing for humanity. It wasn't meant to be that way. But what does that mean? I don't know if any of you have ever been potholing. Anybody ever been potholing? Not advised if you're a bit claustrophobic, okay? Not advised. But you get completely covered in mud. And I mean everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. So I went potholing when I was a teenager. And you come out and there is mud just everywhere, in your eyes, in your ears, everywhere. And if you were to try and sort of clean yourself, you couldn't sort of take a clean bit and use it to clean another bit, because you're completely filthy. There's no way that you can clean yourself. You're just covered. The only way that you can get clean is by somebody getting a hose pipe and hosing you down. It's a bit like that with the doctrine of original sin that we're thinking. There's no way that we can make ourselves clean. There's no way we can make ourselves right with God because our nature, through and through, is muddy. It's dirty. If we think that we can do something good to make ourselves clean, that's to misunderstand what we are actually like. Jesus said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's the problem. But the good news is, in our second point, so if you have a look down on your sheets, if you're following there, which would be great, Jesus Christ brought the gift of righteousness and life for all who trust in him. So have a look at verse 15. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? You see, Paul is saying that Jesus Christ is God's gift to us and his grace overflows to us. It's more powerful than sin. Or verse 16. The gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin, that's Adam. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift, God's grace to us in Jesus Christ, followed many, many trespasses and brought justification. So, sorry, some more words need to be understood. Maybe one of the grown-ups can tell us what justification means. Or a simple way of boys and girls understanding it. What does it mean if we are justified? We've looked at it last week. The first four chapters of Romans are about this word, justification. Anybody feel brave enough? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Well, let's listen up to this definition. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's one way of teaching it to boys and girls. Just as if I'd never sinned. It means to be declared innocent by God. That wonderful, wonderful possibility that God says of people like you and me who are born in Adam's sin, you are innocent, without sin, I will treat you as if you have never sinned. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's wonderful. Righteous, it means that we are declared righteous. What does righteous mean? It means right with God by being like God. Right with God by being like God. It's not that we become sinless, but he treats us as if we are as right with him as his only son, as pure as Jesus. So what has gone on? Well, I know this is familiar to many of us, but when Jesus came into the world, he was the only man who never did anything wrong because he didn't have the nature of sinful man. He was born of a virgin in the Holy Spirit. Without original sin. And he never once sinned. He's perfectly righteous. But you see, when he died on the cross, he was treated as if he was one of us. He took our sin into his body on the tree. He was punished. He was condemned. He was innocent, but he was condemned as if he were one of us. He died. He went to hell. He took all God's right and just anger in his body on the cross. Why? So that our sin can be covered by his righteousness. His righteous life could deal with our sin and our condemnation and our death. This is what Paul is saying in that passage. Christ came into the world. He was the gift of God to people like you and me. He brings righteousness, and because he can undo all these things, he brings us eternal life if we will trust in him. And if we will trust in him, his life is joined to our life. We not only have the nature of Adam, we also now have the life of Christ. And that's why this is so much more powerful. We now are joined to Christ. So I don't know if you've been looking down at some of the verses as we've been going through. Can you see verse 17? How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and have the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is much greater than Adam. He's God. And when he gives us his obedience, his righteousness, then life is certain. It will overcome death. Look at verse 19. So also through the obedience of the one man, the many, that's all who trust in him, will be made righteous. But I just want to, as we close now, just have a couple of questions. First of all, you might say, well, I'm not a Christian. But I'm going to be good enough for God, aren't I? And I just want to challenge you on that. Because if it is true that this is what our nature is like, the only way that we can be given a nature in which we are righteous before God and live eternally with God is by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't happen another way because we're not made that way. It can't happen another way because we're not made that way. We're not, at the moment, those who have a nature which cannot sin. We keep sinning, don't we? Don't we? Even the things that we know to be wrong, let alone the things that God knows to be wrong, we keep doing. So I just want to encourage, if that's you this morning, to receive the gift. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bit trivializing, isn't it, in some ways? To admit that this is what you're like. That is the nature that you have. That you're responsible for that before God. To believe in Jesus Christ, which is really just to receive the gift that God offers. And to confess Christ, that means to tell others, yes, I'm a Christian. To be willing to live with Christ as your Lord and God. That is the way God says we can be given eternal life. Not by the good things that we do. But I want to finish really by speaking to all of us here who would call ourselves Christians, myself included, because I think this is something we struggle to understand. You see, we tend to think that sin and death are very powerful, don't we? We live day by day seeing the effects of death, Christians being slaughtered as sheep to the slaughter. We're perhaps very conscious of our sin and the ways that we keep on sinning. Paul is writing this letter to Christians to encourage them and give them confidence that grace is way more powerful than sin, and therefore to live in this new identity. Do you see that if we're a Christian, we've actually got two natures, if you like. We have the old self and the new self. We have what we are in Adam, or were in Adam, but now we have died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ, and therefore we're to live with him. Just listen to some of these words that are coming later on in chapters 6, 7 and 8 that we're looking at in the next few weeks. Count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You have been set free from sin. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, why is grace greater than sin? Well, there's coming a day when Jesus will return and the new world will be set up. And we're already part of that world. And therefore, we're to look forward to that day when Christ returns and he rules completely. And sin will be done away with. Death will be defeated. And because we have a union with Christ, we share in his nature, we will be with him on that day. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing to consider? It's good news. Grace is greater than sin because Christ, the Son of God, was, is and will be greater than Adam. Well, let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you and praise you that we're not alone to understand these things, difficult words as there may be, difficult things to understand. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he speaks to our hearts through your word, the Bible. And we pray that he would seal in our hearts as we go from today those things that, Lord God, you have spoken to us about, that we wouldn't forget them, but continue to mull them over and think through them. If we're not yet yours, would we be those who consider receiving that gift? If we are Christians, would we understand more deeply how the sinful nature, the many trespasses, are overcome by the great and wonderful grace of your Son? Amen.
Well, isn't it great news that Jesus has come to bring those blessings that John was talking about, blessings of righteousness and life? Maybe after the service, you'd like to chat to a person near you about something you remember. Maybe if you're younger, you could tell your parents. I'm sure they'd be encouraged to hear something that you picked up from the sermon. But for now, it's a little bit chilly, but we're going to stand up and get warmed up. So everyone needs to stand up. If you're youngish or feel youngish, it would be great for you to come up to the front and join me. Stand up. Stand up. We can't just go straight into this song without getting warmed up properly. It's a serious song with actions. So we need to do a couple of stretches. We've risk assessed this. So a couple of stretches are needed. Could you please follow me with a kind of, yeah, that'll do. And reach for the, that'll do as well. Good. I'm not looking very joined, by children. So this is going to be fun. Another thing to watch out for is there is movement in the song. Yes, yes, come. Excellent. There is movement in the song, so just be careful. Either tone down the movement or get yourself some space so that you don't injure anyone. If you're in doubt as to what the move is, and I'm going to be in doubt for some of them, just go for the standard Superman pose. That's the move if you're not sure what to do. There we go. There are our lyrics. Can we have the music?
Save the day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power? Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave. Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, and here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave.
He's the death crusher,
death crusher,
sin smasher,
sin smasher.
Who's the mighty Super Savior?
Jesus.
He's the death crusher,
death crusher,
sin smasher.
Sin smasher.
Who's the mighty Super Savior?
Jesus. 1, 2, 3, now.
Save the day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power?
Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, and here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave. Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave.
Enough of that, sit down. Well done. If you felt a bit seated at any point, just imagine AJ and I practicing that during the week in my office to the music. That was strange. Once we've sufficiently calmed down and children are reunited, take a deep breath and we're going to go to a more serious thing. The legates are going to come up and lead us in prayer together.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for showing us this morning how, no matter what we have said or done, because of your love for us and the grace and sacrifice of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, we can be made right with you, no longer your enemies, but your children, loved, brought into your family, by trusting in you, turning away from what we know to be wrong and following you. We thank you for all that you are doing in this church. We give thanks for our leaders here at Fordham All Saints and how you speak to us through them. We pray that you would continue to encourage and inspire John, AJ, Ben, Duncan, Haley, and all those involved in ministry here. Thank you also for the work you are doing in the lives of the children at this church through All Age Services and All Saints Club. We pray that they would be encouraged, excited, and built up through your word as they discover more and more about you. We also thank you for the joy of being part of your family here at Fordham All Saints. We pray you would help us to get to know each other more deeply and encourage each other in our walk with you. And we also pray for those in the church fellowship who need our prayer at this time. We think of Andrew Honiak, who has an operation coming up this week. We also think for others, including those who are unwell at this time. We just raise them to you now. Lord God, would you have your hand upon all who are unwell and in need of your help, and just through the power of your Holy Spirit, bring healing and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we also thank you for the joy and blessing of new life in the Johnston family. We thank you for your answer to prayer and giving them the gift of baby Emma, and pray that you would equip and encourage AJ and Jen as they bring her up to know and love you. We pray that you would help them to balance the demands of ministry at church, study, and other commitments with time as a family. We also help us as a church family to encourage and build them up through friendship and in prayer. Amen. Dear Lord, we pray that you would have your hand on Emma throughout her life. We pray that as she grows up, hearing about your word and learning about you, she would respond by accepting Jesus into her heart and following him all the days of her life. We pray you would bless her with wisdom and faithfulness, and that she would be a great blessing to others. We pray that you would surround her with godly family, friends, and influences that will help to shape and guide her as she grows up. In Jesus' name, amen. Loving Father, we also thank you for the other good things that you give us. Thank you for family and friends. Yes, Lord, thank you for all the good things that you give us. Thank you that you care about every detail in our lives. Thank you that you look after us and provide for us and help us to keep trusting in you. Amen. And we finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
If you'd like to look up, we're about to sing again. A slightly more traditional number this time. So as the musicians come up, you could look up in your songbook, number 31. And then as the music starts, we'll stand together to sing of God's amazing grace. Number 31 in the songbooks under the chairs. Do sit down. Thank you for being with us. Please stay around for tea and coffee at the end if you have time to chat. Let's close together in prayer. Father God, thank you that though in Adam our sin deserves condemnation and death, you have given us righteousness and life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to go out into the week confident of that new life that you have given us in Jesus. Amen.